Your speaker for today is John Grubb.
Welcome to our program. We have been studying basic facts of the faith to help people to understand how to get from earth to heaven. Because the most important thing in this life is to go to heaven. This life is temporary. Where we will be in eternity is the most important question we can ask and answer. And so we have been spending time seeing what is involved in becoming a child of God and living our lives as a child of God. The last time, as we talked about living the Christian life, we were discussing the different responsibilities that Christians have toward God. We are to study God's Word. We are to pray to God. That way, God has communication with us. We have communication with Him. We have the responsibility to worship with the saints at the appointed times. Also, we have that responsibility of preaching and teaching the gospel to others who need to learn of the good news of Jesus Christ. Certainly, everybody is interested in good news. If you can find a good price on some particular product that you're looking for, you buy it yourself, but you also tell others about it. Well, the greatest news that God has ever given to mankind is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so once we have found how we can be saved, we are interested in helping the other billions and billions of people in this world to understand the truth of the gospel. So we, as children of God, have that responsibility to teach the lost. Then in the fifth place, we must live a godly life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." And then 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And so these passages of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, Titus chapter 2, Matthew chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 4, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, all emphasize the importance of living a godly life. We live a godly life to show people that we are followers of Christ, that we are following His perfect example, because Jesus left us an example that we should follow. And the Bible says that Jesus did not know guile, neither did He sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Yes, Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so we have the responsibility in following that perfect example, Jesus Christ, to live a godly life. Before we were Christians, we lived ungodly lives. And you noticed in the scriptures that we read, some of the things that the inspired writers mention in regard to our previous life before we became Christians. And so as Christians, I have the responsibility as a Christian to live a godly life. And then in the next place, as a Christian, I must be faithful to Christ, enduring to the end. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Again, this emphasizes the importance of living faithfully, and also emphasizes the importance of living a godly life. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Galatians 6, verse 9. Paul further says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And then Jesus said, as recorded in Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." What does that mean, faithful unto death? That means we are to be faithful even if it means we have to die. We think about the faithfulness of Christians through the centuries. We think about the persecutions and the trials that they faced in the first century, the second century, the third century, into the fourth century. We think of the strength that was gained by the church because of the persecutions and the trials that they faced. And we know that this was one of the things that helped keep the church pure during those early centuries. Because if you were not interested in being faithful to God, if the choice came to you to confess Christ and suffer persecution, maybe even die, or deny Christ and go free, then if you were really not dedicated, you would go ahead and deny Christ and save your physical life, but lose your soul. In our day and time, some places still suffer the problems of persecutions and punishment and maybe even death for living the Christian life. But in many countries today, the problem is not persecution or the imprisonment or punishment by death. It is the worldliness and the materialism that we face in our life that causes us to go away from God. And so certainly, worldliness or materialism is a danger in living a faithful Christian life. The devil will use any means possible to get us away from God. And if through money and things and riches and the cares of this life, the devil can get us to become lazy and apathetic towards the work of God, then certainly he will do that. And we recognize in many countries, because of searching after money, because of materialism, people have turned away from God to serving their own wants and desires. As a Christian, I have to live the Christian life. That means I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to worship with the saints, I'm going to teach others, I'm going to live a godly life, and then I'm going to be faithful until I leave this earth by death or Christ returns again.